Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olivier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. And welcome back once again to Divine Intervention, and once again we are tasting two wines from the Cape region, and my enological qualifications tell me that one is white, one is red, but what do I know? Let's check in with our food and wine guru in Cape Town, Michael Olivier. Good evening, Michael. How are you?
John, I'm good, thank you. Yeah, we've got a white and a red, and I think we're going to have some fun tasting these two.
Excellent. Are you ready to swallow and spit?
Absolutely.
Just don't spit over the dog. They don't like that. Right, with me in Joburg, just so you know, Michael, we have Philippa Rodseth, who runs the Manufacturing Circle, a very important business organization, but surprisingly, she's quite a nice person. We have Debbie van Flymen, who sells and promotes and does all sorts of stuff with wine. She's even been known to occasionally take a glass of it. We have Nikki Hitz, who runs Alfie's Pizzeria and Deli in Pretoria, because there's a deli umbilically attached to the pizzeria. And we have Malcolm McDonald, who is not only our technical guru on these podcasts, he also probably knows a lot more about wine than I do. Not that that's difficult. Malcolm, ladies, Nikki, great to see you again.
Thank you.
Okay, well, given the wonders and the limitations of my reading glasses, Michael, I can see that we've got a white wine and a red wine. I can see that they're from Fairview. First of all, what is the wine and why are we tasting it?
Okay, well, we're going to taste the Fairview Darling Sauvignon Blanc first. Always amazes me about Darling. I remember going up there once and standing in some of Charles Batt's vineyards and looking down on the west coast, and this really chilly breeze coming up off the sea in the middle of summer in an early morning. And it's just one of the reasons why Darling is so superbly situated for making good Sauvignon Blanc. These grapes come from dryland vineyards, rich oak leaf soils. And what they do is they're harvested by machine. They press the berries gently, and then they settle out the juice straight into stainless steel tanks. Very straightforward, perfect winemaking. It lies on the lees for a bit after fermentation, which of course just gives you that extra sort of nice mid-palate flavor and the creaminess there. Beautiful color, pale golden straw, some nice green flashes when you look at it in the light. And then it's got everything from the sort of the green side right the way through to the tropical fruit. There's sort of figs and sort of nettle herbs, fynbos herbs, and then right through to the tropical fruit. Nice sort of melony flavors with sweet sort of tropical lime, and then this fabulous mid palate and the nice crisp zippy finish at the end. Really, this is one of my current favorite Sauvignon Blancs.
Well, Michael, I was quite surprised because I took a sniff at it and I thought, oh no, not another one of these aggressive Sauvignon Blancs. I'm not going to like it. And then I tasted it and I love it. I find it beautifully balanced. It isn't too aggressive. It's a really elegant, nice wine. And what more can I say? I love it. Well chosen.
Good.
Nikki?
Well, yes. I must say I had the exact same reaction to you, John. I'm also not a fan of those overly strong Sauvignon Blancs. I do find that this is slightly easier to drink than many of the Sauvignon Blancs that I know. But mainly, as I said, my wine knowledge isn't too deep, but I can definitely say that I really like this wine farm. I remember when they came out several years ago with the La Capra, it was almost, it almost didn't do the wine justice. You know, it was in some of the not so popular restaurants in Pretoria. But now I find that this Fairview is really producing some good stuff. And, you know, all I have to go on is the feedback from my customers. So they love it, I enjoy it, and I look forward to seeing what they have to do in the future.
So you quite like it.
Yeah.
Good. Malcolm.
So am I mad? But
yes,
if I sort of taste this and sniff this, I get a lot of guava, which is, if I remember from a previous podcast, Michael saying that guava was sort of a strong sort of indicator in Chenin Blanc. But I really am getting a lot of guava out of this, which is interesting. And I'm enjoying it. I think that it's interesting flavors. And
Michael, we have a fruity question. Should this smell of guava?
Well, I think, you know, there's that sort of tropical fruit thing. I think sometimes your brain gets a bit befuddled and you're sort of thinking pawpaw, mango, guava, desiccated pineapple. So, yeah, I mean, you will certainly find stuff there that you weren't expecting.
Okay, so Malcolm is mad. Good, we've cleared that one up. Philippa.
I am certifiably mad then, because I agree entirely with Malcolm. I also picked up quite a lot of the guava. I however like the description of the combination of the tropical, which we can assume is the guava, plus the nettles and that range, which I think is it's not a singularly one-dimensional sort of wine. So I do pick that up, but I think it's also a little bit downplayed by the range of other tastes and flavours.
Debbie, you're a master of Cape wine, a Cape wine master. Are you also a master of Cape fruit? What can you tell us about the fruitiness of this wine?
One man's guava might be another man's gooseberry. So at the end of the day, it's all about your own.
It's not all about size.
All right. It's not all about size, but it is all about what you and your own individual nose are able to pick up. And the bottom line is, if you're not used to smelling guavas, or you're not used to smelling gooseberries, or if you've never smelled a nettle before, it's going to be very difficult to discern those aromas and those flavors in a wine. So bottom line is, there's really no right or wrong. At the end of the day, the most important question is, do you like what's in your glass? And my answer to that is, this is quite delicious. At the end of the day, I think Fairview and what Charles Back and his team, including Anthony Diaga, are doing is very, very smart winemaking. So a lot of these characters that we're talking about, the tropical fruit, the liminess, for me, those guavas are a little bit on the green side. But those are not only necessarily aromas that one can pick up in the wine. They can be influenced by the yeasts that you use to produce the wines. And whether that's what they're doing or not, this is a really well-balanced, super quaffable glass. They're doing some exciting things out of Darling with their Sauvignon Blanc. They don't only produce this wine from that block. They actually make an amazing wine called Driepappenfontein, which is a blend of...
What's that in Afrikaans?
Thanks very much. But what's really awesome is that's a blend of this Sauvignon Blanc with some Semillon. And they're producing wines that are interesting, drinkable, beautifully balanced, easy on the pockets as well. If I'm not mistaken, Michael, this is a retail point of about 80 Rand a bottle.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's actually really good value. And I think as far as Sauvignon Blanc goes, it's really well balanced. And there's a lot of cheap and cheerful stuff out there, but it'll take the enamel off your teeth. And this is lovely. This is super drinkable.
Well, what higher praise? This won't take the enamel off your teeth. Debbie, you are so kind.
It definitely won't.
Okay, well, now we're moving on to a red, Michael, also from Fairview. What is it?
Yep. It's a Shiraz of the 2014 vintage. Grapes from... Fairview itself, and then there's a little bit of dry land stuff from Achterpaal, and a bit of Darling and Stellenbosch blended in there as well. A lovely sort of classical winemaking in fermenting in oak barrels, a little bit in the tank, which of course is added back and just adds to the freshness of the wine, and then it goes to a combination of French and American oak barrels, of which about 30% are new. They're the batches are separately vinified and then blended just shortly before bottling. Lovely color in the glass. I mean, I just love that sort of Satsuma plum color, opaque at the core. On the nose, it's all for me about plums and mulberries and blackberries and a little touch of some raspberry there too, which just gives it a lovely lift. Complex palate. There's a lot of spice going on there, and of course the vanilla from the oak. Good tannins, well interwoven with the fruit, and just a nice aftertaste at the end, which just wanes gently.
I like it. Like it's maybe a bit too distinctively Shiraz for me, which sounds weird, but certainly I have no problem with this wine. It's pleasant enough, and I recognise everything you were saying about the winemaking. I just wonder why they ran out of guavas, but that's just me. Malcolm?
So I get a lot of vanilla in this. I think for me it's maybe just a tiny bit astringent at the moment, and it could settle down over a little bit of time. And it's, I mean, I know Fairview quite well, and I know they make a lovely set of wines. For me, not their best.
Yep. I'm enjoying it. I think that description of the plums and the mulberries is very apt.
Oh, it's very difficult to get Michael to shut up once he gets
started. I was very impressed, and I think it also talked to my sort of view of the wine, and as a typical typically Shiraz, I think it's a good one.
Debbie?
Yeah, it's a little sharp for my palate. I think that they do make some lovely wines with Shiraz, and this is just a style that doesn't work for me. But I do think it's very fresh. It's very food friendly because it's got a great acidity to it. But it's a bit racy, and I think that this is not the only Shiraz they make. I would say explore the range in some of the blends.
Nikki?
Well, yeah, I tend to quite like Shiraz. I must say it's not my best Shiraz I've ever had. Although I think it would pair well now going into winter with a lot of the things we do at the restaurant. I know that some people there like to really, you know, pair our types of food, being very strong, simple foods, with strong wines like this. So definitely, I mean, open to all suggestions. Thank you.
Michael, we cannot go without, we've had allusions to it, Fairview as a place to visit. Now, I think almost every time I've been to the Winelands, I've gone to Fairview because they've got a nice cheese room, they've got a nice wine tasting area, and they've got what I think is an excellent restaurant. It's got a good range of their own wines by the glass. You can have a cheese platter there, but they also do more ambitious and pleasant stuff. On a nice summer's day, it's a wonderful place to visit. The service can be a little bit erratic, but they're friendly enough. And I actually ring up and book these days because they tend to be very, very popular. I think if you're suggesting to someone who doesn't know the Cape Winelands very well and doesn't really have time to visit many estates, Fairview is a pretty good bet. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the thing that interested me, I went to Fairview a couple of years ago. I mean, I've been back there since, but I went there after a trip I'd made to Portugal, where I'd been to some pretty amazing wineries in terms of appeal, architectural, geographical, and the whole thing. And I remember walking into Fairview and thinking, this is a place of international standing. I mean, the whole thing is just so organized and so well run, and of course it's got the lovely cheeses that they make there as well, which are so perfect with the wines. And the goats, that goat's tower, it's extraordinary. The kids just love it.
As you say, Michael, for those who don't know this, there is a tower with goats climbing up and down it, which is wonderful. But Debbie, something I think you alluded to just now, what I've always found astonishing about Fairview is their experimentation, their range. They, They don't just have three or four wines of different varietals. I think they have dozens, there's always something interesting, always something new, always something different.
Well, I recently had occasion to taste some of the lesser well-known wines that they make. I sat down with Anthony Diaga, and I was really blown away by the level of experimentation that most consumers aren't familiar with. And by the way, they actually have a range of wines that are produced only and strictly for sale at the restaurant, which come from some of their experimental vineyards. They actually use the facility to actually trial run some of the potential wines that come into the portfolio. And I can't agree with Michael more. The fact of the matter is I often recommend Fairview as a place to visit if you are going to have one meal or visit one estate, because it's all encompassing. And I think Charles Back is quite the visionary when it comes to wine production in South Africa. Not only his history of doing things like planting wines in the Swartland, but embracing the idea of experimentation and innovation and giving the winemakers the opportunity to nurture their creative side. So while we're talking about Shiraz, I mean, please go out, listeners, and try their Beacon Shiraz. Try their Caldera, which is a Southern Rhone blend featuring Shiraz. There's some remarkable wines from this property, and they really bear some experimentation. And certainly of what I've tasted recently, I can also recommend their white blend, the New Rock. Lovely wine.
Well, one thing I forgot to mention is they also bake very well. Very nice blend with your cheese. Nicky, have you been to the farm?
I have not, unfortunately.
You just sell squirtings of bottles of their wine each day.
I actually don't yet, but I met Anthony. He came up to Pretoria about a week ago. And he came over to my restaurant and he proposed two of their new wines. One is called the Hontini.
Yes.
And the other one is the Extrana, which I actually gave to one of my clients the other day and he was blown away by it. So, being quite a purist in Italian cuisine and Italian wines and everything, it's very nice to see how local, winemakers are really starting to take, a lot of... They're starting to experiment more and more with European varietals and mixing and matching and blending, which is very nice.
Well, from one snob to another. Mark McDonald, have you ever visited Fairview?
Yes, and I've really enjoyed it. One of those that I've tried was their Barbera, which I believe is the only one, I think they're the only one with the Barbera grape in South Africa. I might be wrong.
No, they're not the only one at the moment, but they were certainly the first.
They were the first. And yeah. Absolutely delicious. That one was really, really an eye-opener of a beautiful red wine. I really enjoy their estate. I really like them. The New Rock, also magnificent.
And how about you, Philip?
I must say that the Goat Tower was the initial lure with having children. But yes, definitely in terms of the all-encompassing experience, the cheese, the wine, the estate, the food, really very, very highly recommended.
And did you manage to feed the children to the goats or did you have to take them away afterwards?
I'll have to go again next time. I was only practicing the first time.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we've got time for this time, but we've tried two very nice wines from Fairview and our guru, Michael Olivier, will remind us of what they were.
Well, it was the Fairview Darling Sauvignon Blanc 2016 and the Fairview Shiraz 2014.
Well, thank you, Michael, as always. Thank you to Nicky Hitz. Thank you to Debbie von Fleiman, to Philippa Rodseth, and last, certainly not least, to Malcolm McDonald. I'm John Fraser. That was Divine Intervention.